Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 29th, 212th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from Security National, Randy Gans. Hey, guy.
Hi, Brian.
So the big guy's still into partying, huh? Is that what the bottom line is here?
No, he's busy. He's back in. I think he's back in Baton Rouge, working away.
So hard.
I'm the fill-in.
You got to put in hard, otherwise, when he listens to this thing, you'll get the phone call.
Yeah.
Slaving away till all hours of the day and night, right?
Yeah, he does work hard. Yeah. There's lots of early morning emails to prove it. So.
Yeah, those are always frightening, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about oysters and some of the development along Humboldt Bay. Last week, Jack Kreider was in from the Harbor District, and he talked a little bit about some of the docks and the general status of those. And now from one of, what do they call, stakeholders, I believe, right?
Yeah, I guess we
Now, I've never known you to hold on to a steak. Normally, you're consuming steak, but that's okay. We'll talk a bit about, from the other perspective, what's going on around the bay, what should be, what could be, and what most likely will be. We'll do that when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Roger Moore, 007 and others. I enjoy being a highly overpaid actor.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Some of these guys seem to have a problem. You know, these young kids that are self-destructing.
Well.
Yeah, you just kind of look at him and go, what? You know, it's tough for us to understand how or why, but they certainly seem to be able to, don't they?
They sure do.
Holy Toledo. So I'll stay out of Hollywood as much as I can.
So.
Yeah, they need to do a lot more acting. Yeah. Just tie up their time a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Last week, Randy, Jack Kreider was in, and we were talking a little bit about the bay and what he saw as some of the potentials for the bay. Coming certainly with a different perspective, and I think that's probably healthy. When you look at the bay today, and you guys have done the history, you know the history from growing up here. Do you see what some people see, or do you kind of scratch your head and go, you know, when they talk pristine, I don't get it, or when they talk about historical use not being what it really was, logging, shipbuilding, oil, diesel, all that kind of stuff, and trying to take it back to pristine, zero, natural, whatever you want to call it. Do you kind of scratch your head just philosophically? You go, what are you guys talking about here?
Oh, when they're talking about taking it back to pristine, you know, I don't know. It's a matter of what you call pristine. Is it pristine with an economy around it and a vibrant, you know, community economically, or is it pristine with, you know, a few huts and no jobs or anything like that?
I mean, 200 years ago.
I think
ago,
it's a mix of the both. I mean, both, you know. I mean, it's obviously evolving, you know. I mean, primarily in the, you know, early days of the port development, it was, you know, all those things. I mean, we were in World War II. We were building ships and docks, I believe, for you know, World War II at one time.
Well, whaling port. I'm sure
whaling,
that there was.
We had, you know, a large commercial fishing industry that's been, you know, regulated to, you know, a much smaller portion of our economy, and you know, obviously the lumber industry was huge. You know, one of the biggest, you know, forms of transport, you know, was, you know, by freighter. You know, I mean, that's where most of the San Francisco, you know, wood from here went down there, was by freighter before the railroad. So, you know, and now we thankfully got a component of that back, you know, in the log exports. People don't realize how much money comes in with one of those ships into the community. I mean, it's over $3.5-4 million.
Every time we see a ship out there, dock?
Well, yeah, because the landowners are selling the wood to go on it. The longshoremen get paid to put the wood on it. You've got your timber fallers, your truckers, your mechanics. It's activity. You know, we've lost a lot of mills here. You do 10 ships a year, and that's almost the equivalent of another mill. And the log supply's there. I mean, it's there. We just got to have, competitive pricing to reach the cost thresholds to bring it to the port. So, that's back. I mean, that's a good thing. Seeing those ships here is good. We used to do, 60, 70 million feet of exports. So
when you say the cost is too high, it's the cost of the wood, cost of getting it out of the woods, the transportation?
Yeah, it is. Those costs have gone up to transport it, from the inland areas. I mean, predominantly it's, Doug fir. Yeah, those costs are higher, to get a permit to harvest is higher. So the landowners need higher prices to keep the industry, alive and going. It's tough, but, any outside stimulation to pricing is good. And, obviously you gotta look at it from both sides. You want to keep our existing mills supplied also. So that component is good. It's good to see those export ships back here.
So is there enough demand?
In China, there's plenty of demand.
Okay, because I had heard something a couple weeks ago that they're starting to level off, and the 6-6.5% growth is going to get come tumbling down to a more modest level.
It'll stop, but it won't necessarily stop, but it may slow down. It'll go through peaks and valleys like any timber market will. But the fact of the matter is Russia can't supply the wood that they historically have to China, even before their pre-growth days. I mean, so someone's got to fill the void. Will prices go up and down? Yeah, sure. But, the supply that is no longer available from Russian sources is so great that, all the wood that we could produce and ever ship over there will never fill that hole, even if their economy slows down. So it'll be a steady presence around here.
So my question is, and I would guess is probably the $100 million question. I like dealing with big numbers hypothetically. Is it Humboldt Bay? Is it Coos Bay? Is it Astoria? Where is the debarkation point or the unloading point, I guess would probably be the better reference, for these natural resources to get overseas?
Well, that all depends on, the infrastructure to get the commodities there. I mean, for timber products right now, it works for us. I mean, Coos Bay is expanding their rail infrastructure. Obviously Grays Harbor has been a tremendous success, with their ports and systems. So, we have to figure out those infrastructure problems. You got to have rail to get resources, the commodities,
Can this port survive without rail?
Sure. But
can it thrive without rail?
Thriving, probably not. There'll be niche opportunities that may come and go, and a lot of that depends too on other, cost. I mean, will there ever be a marine highway? I don't know. That all depends on the cost of trucking and improvements in our highways and how efficient they come, where it's, an alternative.
It's 320.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between, such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The Commercial Exhibits Building will feature fascinating products. And, of course, there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. Randy, some of the activity that's going on in the Bay or around the Bay isn't what I think most of us would call traditional. Now, you could say, okay, fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, to me, crabbing is crabbing. It's not fishing.
Yeah.
Fish have fins. Okay. So when we talk about that, I guess aquaculture is the new kind of a overall overarching term. We got oysters. You know, Greg Dale and his guys have got oysters.
Yeah.
And I guess others are now looking to utilize other parts of the Bay for similar critters, but not quite the same. You guys are mentioned with the oysters.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
other than consuming, which I've seen happen, what's the connection between the oysters and what you guys have got around the Bay?
Well, I mean, the Humboldt Bay does have kind of a unique spot, too, for the mariculture industry. We've got a lot of those, large areas on the North Bay that are conducive to oyster farming. We have a particular type of, I wouldn't call it a regulatory space or something like that, but our area, our waters have been classified as an area where you can raise aquaculture products, for use in other bays. I mean, we don't have any
unprocessed or whatever.
We don't have any like quarantines or anything like that from our waters to go to waters somewhere else. I mean, so Humboldt Bay is pretty conducive to raising, the seed for the industry, because the aquaculture industry has been growing. So, it's interesting. You mentioned Greg, the Harbor Commission guy. He introduced me to a fellow out of San Francisco, and who's a longtime oyster farmer, down in the Tamales area, and he has several restaurants, and he's recognized that there's not going to be enough oyster seed to meet the continued growth in the shellfish oyster industry. I mean, it's kind of like the wine of the early 90s,
Trendy, but can you eat a grilled oyster with your finger out?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure that that's possible.
Know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like cracking crab and not getting it all over you.
So, John and I, sat down and we looked at our holdings over in Fairhaven, and we found an area that we've been doing some work with Ted Kuiper, who was the founder of the oyster, industry in Humboldt Bay, and he has a small facility over there, and we're able to expand on that with John and Hog Island Oyster Factory, and we're going to build him a new building. It's a oyster nursery. We have
In the Bay.
It's processing
is up.
It's a neat system. It's a nursery where they basically they use the bay water. They pump it through a upland facility, 8,000 to 9,000 foot building with special tanks where they raise the larvae that they attach to the nutrients that come through the bay water, just like they would if they were on a rock, with the tide coming in and out. The pumps bring that water in. They go through the tanks without touching anything, foreign, and then they return that water back to the bay. So
is it true that you're an expert now in hydroponics?
I absolutely am not. And that is probably an oversimplified thing. And if
the water comes in and the oysters grow,
But, John's been doing all the permitting. He's been working with Fish and Game, the Harbor District, Fish and Game, obviously. He's working with Coastal Commission staff, Army Corps. So, they're well underway on their permitting and we're sitting there waiting for him to basically receive those permits, and we'll build a nice building. It'll be an interesting little foray into that business for us. We've got a perfect location for it. He can provide, you know, seed now to the independents because, you know, oyster farms up and down the West Coast, which is great. And, you know, we're excited about that, you know, as is he. He's a really high-quality guy.
Now, that would be, I would think, one of the classic definitions of coastal dependent for permits and things like that through the Coastal Commission. Is he getting through that? Is that one of the permits that he's going through, or is that something you guys have to go through?
It's been good. I mean, so far the permitting process has gone smoothly, and John's taking care of all that because he's done it down in Tomales Bay on his facility there. You know, he's done this same type of expansion. He knows all the players, and they're moving through the process. So it's exciting. And we'll get him a 8,000-foot building built, and it'll be nice. It'll be a nice addition to the area.
It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans from Security National. Randy, the Coastal Commission, as we're talking about the Bay, certainly has influence, has jurisdiction on the Bay and the surrounding or adjacent environs. With some of the projects that are mariculture or aquaculture based, do they also have influence in what's under the water, what's around the water, or is it just the land adjacent to the water?
To my knowledge, they don't. That would be, especially on the bay, once it's on the shoreline, you know, I mean, it's past the shoreline, it's in the tide, you know, under the mean high tide line, I guess is what they call it. That would be under the jurisdiction of state lands and the Harbor District, which I think in Humboldt Bay, the Harbor District acts as a trustee for state lands, you know. So we have leases with state lands, but the Harbor District supervises it. Coastal Commission, and I don't know, I've noticed a little change, you know, in some of the permitting here in the last 3 or 4 months on the Harbor District stuff. They've, you know, talked about, you know, us submitting for waivers and the like, you know, to get, you know, basically get it in the primary jurisdiction of the Harbor District.
So they would
a dock repair or something like that.
So they would allow the Harbor District to be the lead.
Yeah,
they
would.
The year,
yeah,
so
they get a waiver, but they haven't completely relinquished, you know, their stake or their, you know, their thought to be stake in the over, you know, the water stuff. So I'm not necessarily agreeing with them, but it's now, I mean, they're not asserting jurisdiction, it seems, as much. They're more willing to work with these coastal dependent type uses.
So is there a change with the staff because the executive director?
Well, obviously,
change?
You know, I mean, I don't know how much that mindset's changed on the commission, but you have seen a lot of turnover lately in the makeup of the commission. You know, they're non-elected, they're appointees, and we've seen significant turnover in the appointments on the commission. You know, there seems to be a more reasonable voice, you know, representing the citizens of California. I think one of the commissioners, Steve Blank, is it? Was it Steve Blank? An ardent environmentalist, you know, said he just resigned from the commission since the former director, Peter Douglas, resigned because staff wasn't being unreasonable enough, of what I think was one of the quotes. take an unreasonable position, you know, on a project. I mean, well, I know all about unreasonable on the balloon track. Yeah,
don't worry, we're gonna segue into you that know, one, buddy.
But maybe there's hope. The Coastal Commission was designed with a function, you know, was to protect, you know, pristine areas and protect our coasts and, you know, create public access. Somewhere down the line, that morphed into, protect and take, private property rights.
You mentioned
have been
that.
Beat up for years, so.
There was the finding, I guess, about the North Spit. Earlier this year, and I still don't know if it's really seen the light of day yet, that the dune areas are now seen as sensitive habitat, and construction development is pretty much now gone in those areas on the North Spit. When something like that happens, doesn't that send what we used to call it a cold? There's a cold shiver or something down through the system. I mean, there's got to be repercussions through the entire state when something like that happens, because the North Spit certainly isn't pristine. There are old cars underneath the dunes. That's what started the dunes after they D8 Cat and flattened them in World War II. I mean, there's nothing there.
There are some pristine areas out of there, but a lot of that area is just flat out. It's zoned for industrial. It's been historically used as industrial. It's may have been abandoned. I don't know. I know the water district had a lot of trouble out there, and they were just trying to replace a historic water line with a more efficient water line, one that doesn't leak water, a precious resource, and they were going to, upgrade the water line, and they were having to steer around, what was labeled as an environmentally sensitive habitat by the Coastal Commission. I looked at those maps and those lines and some of the photos, and a lot of them were just berry bushes and non-native dune grasses. So I think it was,
that
reflects
played?
More of the historical unreasonableness position. So and that costs the taxpayer a lot of money, because now I guess those lines now have to go along Highway 255. There's more lines. There's actually, more digging, more. I mean, they were trying to do, from what I understood, underground directional drilling, to avoid these things. That's a fortune. Most of these areas are not environmental. They've been manipulated over the years by the industrial use of the area. It wasn't like anybody was blown through a native, maritime forest or anything like that. This is just ground. A lot of it has, low depressions from history. I mean, it's just like the balloon track. There's nothing native out there.
The thing that gets me going a little bit is the Menzies wallflower. Remember in the 80s? Okay. It came in somehow. It's non-native. But it became endangered. So then we were having to protect, back when there were the kite festivals on the North Spit, and trying to figure all that out. When that happens on the one side of the road, and you guys are on the other side of the road, literally, is there any repercussion? Are there any ripples? Does it make your property easier to develop, more challenging to develop, zero impact, more valuable, less valuable? Is there anything that happens?
Anything in the coastal zone is challenging to develop. But it does set a precedent. You're always watching for those issues. You want to, weigh in. If it's an there's no selective treatment, if staff's being unreasonable on one, item, they're going to be just as unreasonable with you, the next applicant, because they've set the precedent that, these areas are native. So yeah, that's a red flag.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Randy Gaines.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Gans. Randy, a quick update on the balloon track. Are things moving along there? Are they stalled out? Or, you know, I know you guys say that it's on pace. Well, okay, fine.
Well, I mean, it, you know, any projects, they're driven by the economy. So, I mean, we're seeing, you know, a pickup in that. A little more interesting. I mean, look at what Eureka's done here retail-wise, you know, in the last 3 months.
Are we looking at Walmart come in, or are we looking at the empty storefronts?
Well, no,
storefronts?
Walmart got – no. There's not so – look at what's going on with the mall. You know, you got Sports Authority coming in. You've got this Ulta Cosmetics.
Okay.
You've got BevMo coming in, TJ Maxx coming in. You know, that's
– I was looking at the storefronts in downtown.
That's positive. I mean – you know, our anchor tenant, Home Depot, has done very, very well in the last 3 years.
Yeah, their numbers are up.
Significantly up. You know, there's a little more.
Do you have secondary leases? I mean,
you
don't care about the names, but you know, are there others lining up already to be around?
You know, it.
Or is it
they're
still
there.
Too early?
I mean, they're there. I mean, it's just we're a little ways. You know, we're seeing some positive developments on the Coastal Commission. You know, whenever you hear that a commissioner quits because staff will not be unreasonable anymore. Well, you know what? I think that's a positive. You know, I mean, I think we've got a very reasonable proposal. We're trying to make things better. You know, so hopefully, you know, this economy will continue to gain strength. And
you know what the question people want me to ask?
What are we doing?
When are we going to see dirt thrown around?
Boy, that's a good question, Brian. There's still a lot of hurdles to get through, you know. But I feel better about it, you know. I mean, in the last, just seeing the developments on, you know, and honestly, I mean, even on this oyster project, the way the staff has treated the permits and the application, it has been more reasonable. That's a good thing, you know.
So reasonable will allow it to happen quicker. Are you guys still pushing to get this thing done as quickly as you can?
We'll get it done as quickly as the economy and the commission will allow. Let's put it that way. And we want to give it a shot. Anyway, it's a great project. It's a reasonable project. There's a lot of great things for the environment. So
you guys aren't backing away from it, though.
No, not yet. Well, I mean, we're just holding pattern.
Okay. Kind of like seagulls?
No. I wouldn't say that. It's just, it's, you know, I mean, nothing was going to happen, you know, from 2000, you know, it's the last several years have been tough. I mean, you know, you haven't seen retailers expanding, but now you're seeing that absorption in a lot of markets, and that's good. You know, I'm glad Eureka's getting, you know, the mall's under new ownership. It seems to be doing well. I mean,
things are starting to happen.
Starting to pick up. That's good.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay. Glad I was invited. Thanks, Brian.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.